Welcome to the Kingdom Life Church podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Jamie Dixon. For more great content, visit klcmaine.com.
It's going to be a really fun day, but I want to share something today that's been on my heart for a long time. You know, this week I was talking to this young couple, this amazing young couple that have this awesome prophetic story about how the Lord's been repositioning their life, and they're just coming into our world at Kingdom Life Church at one of our campuses. And you know, they were telling these amazing stories about what God's been unfolding in their life over the past couple of years. And, you know, they were in how the Lord just caused their paths to cross with Kingdom Life Church. And they're talking about like revival in their living room and people coming out. And that they're like, all we live for is to see revival come to our cities and come to our family. And they're like, our heart is just to connect with a community that has the same DNA as us. And I began to think about the fact that, like, as a church, you know, we have hundreds of people out here right now. We have multiple campuses. We had a drone live streaming our worship service today. I mean, talking about hitting another level, guys, right? There's so many nuances to what goes on. And I began to think about kind of where we came from 15 to 17 years ago. Gathering in just homes, and before this was even our building, gathering in the basement of this church, and just the heart cry of everything just being, God, it's revival or bust, you know? And when I began to think about a community where we have little kids running around, and it was a joy for me to go, hey, let me tell you our story of revival. Let me tell you our story of what we burn for, and no matter if there's a drone flying over our outdoor service or not, man, we are still that same group of wild, hungry young adults and families in living rooms that are desperate to see revival invade our cities and our communities and our schools and our homes and our workplaces. Amen. And it is the heart cry of our whole team and our community. And so what I'm about to say, I want to say, if you have your Bibles, go to me, John chapter 15. I want to just preface by saying that when I begin to hit on subjects like I'm hitting on today, I need you to fully understand that what we're pressing in for is that we would build a revival community with a revival culture that is laying our whole lives, our families, our jobs, we're laying it all at the feet of Jesus to see the kingdom of heaven invade the earth. Amen? And so I need to preface that everything I'm about to say is of the vision of revival and awakening. All right, go with me to John 15. I want to read this. Jesus said to them, a passage we all know, one of my favorites. He said, I am the vine and my Father is the vine dresser. And every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. For you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine and you are the branches, and he who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and throw them into the fire and they are burned. But if you abide in me and my word abides in you, you will ask for whatever you desire and it will be done for you. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit and you will be my disciples. Jesus gives us this epic teaching that we've all heard. If you abide in me and I abide in you, then you will ask for whatever you desire and it will be done for you, and you will be fruitful and thus you will be my disciples. And Jesus presents to us in John chapter 15, he's understand that he's introducing to a group of legalistic Jewish thinkers. He is presenting the idea is that the key to discipleship and fruitfulness is not just following the rules, but it is fellowship with God. And that Jesus has destroyed the dividing line of works and the motivation of sin and death and the intimidation of the law. He's removed it and thrown it and cast it in the sea so that you could be brought in to the unbroken fellowship, and the lifeline of his presence could be established in your heart, in your life, in your home. Amen? And that abiding in him means that you fully surrender to the unbroken, unwavering, unearned, grace-filled love that he has for you and everything he's provided for you, right? He goes, you abide in me, and I abide in you. And he presents to something that we all knew that God had something to give to us, but he goes, and I abide in you as you abide in me. And he presents the idea of fellowship, that I want to be your friend, that I want to be in covenant with you. I want to be in relationship with you. I want to eat with you. I want to break bread with you. I want to abide in your home, and I want you to abide in my home. I want you to share life with me. I want you to share hopes and dreams with me. I want you to share the darkest places of your life and the greatest parts of your life, and I want us to be able to surrender into this fellowship together. If I abide in you and you abide in me, then we're going to bear some fruit. And Jesus presents friendship. Everyone say friendship. It is an indispensable quality of the kingdom. And that within the context of friendship, there is discipleship, there is growth, there's breakthrough, and that there is fruitfulness. And Jesus, after he presents this to us, in verse 9, John 15, verse 9, Jesus starts saying, you know what? Hey, listen, friendship. And remember in John 17, where he says this, he says, Father, may they be one together as you and I or the Father are one. May they be one in us so that the world would know that you have sent me. And he actually speaks of the unity of the church and the relationships of the church. And he goes, God, the world will know that you are, that I am the Messiah and that you are the Father and that you sent me to pursue their hearts. They will know because they'll look at the church and they'll see friendship. And then Jesus actually goes, hey, listen, friendship is the key here for fruitfulness in me, and friendship is the key for fruitfulness in the church. And he says this in John 15, as the Father, in verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you, so abide in my love. And if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. I want to present to you, we've often looked at this scripture. It says, hey, listen, if you keep my commandments, then you will abide in my love. We've often looked at that and go, so if we obey the law and if we avoid sin, then we will actually be able to abide in his love. And I want to present to you, it's not what this means at all. What this actually means is if you watch over my commandments, that if you actually consider what I've called you to, and that word commandment actually means a word that is spoken that is increasing in understanding and intensity, which means that the law was given, and as Jesus has actually revealed the purpose of the law, the purpose of the law is actually coming into its full context, and now we can look at the law with understanding that it was an invitation to likeness and righteousness, an invitation that can only be activated by grace. And he goes, if you actually look at the law through the full context of what I've said to you, and it is only increasing in intensity, the message I spoke at the beginning, if you look at that law and consider it, then you will actually abide in my love. If you actually look at the law correctly now from what I've revealed, you'll actually be able to fall into rest and stop working in your own strength. And then he says this, for these things I have spoken to you that my joy remain in you and that you, your joy may be full. For this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, a man would lay his life down for his friends. And you are my friends if you do what I command you. For no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all the things that I've heard from my Father I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you. And I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. These things I've commanded to you, that you love one another. Jesus is saying, listen, hey, this whole idea of fellowship and abiding, it's an irreplaceable principle of the kingdom, for the kingdom to invade the earth, for discipleship and fruitfulness to invade the earth through your life and in your community. The key to it is friendship with God. And then I'm inviting you to replicate this experience with heaven. I'm inviting you to replicate it in the church, that the church should be a community of friends. Are you hearing me? That it would become a community of friends. And that friendship would become an incubator of fruitfulness and kingdom invasion. We can't be talking about revival and awakening among a group of acquaintances. Revival and awakening is only available to a group of friends. The key to the church becoming fruitful like God intended is friendship. And here's the difference of what I want to present to us about love, right? How many of us know that we can actually all have love in our hearts for the people around us, but we will actually never move into friendship. We will only remain as acquaintances. This could be the most hostile-free group of Christians that are moving forward in life with, you know, with zero resistant intention. We say, wow, you all get along. But I want to present to you that does not mean that we're friends. And we might actually have true love in every interaction that we have, but that love that we have with every single person around us does not change, it is not shared, it is not mutually given or expressed. How many of us know that love is an invitation to friendship? What we have to understand is that love is my choice. It is not vulnerable to your decisions. It does not originate in your behavior. It is rooted in a value system that I have created in my heart to approach all people with. It's a carbon copy replication of the love I have experienced from God. There is literally nothing that you can do to get me to love you less, because there's nothing that you did that caused my love to be created in the first place. I love everyone around me because I've experienced love that the world deserves to experience. And my hope is that you would get to experience the love of the Father by experiencing the love you've experienced from me. Does that make sense? But that is not friendship. That is a love that I have created in my life that I share with everyone. But friendship is a mutual experience. Friendship is love reciprocated. Friendship requires a history of intentional expressions of love shared between two individuals. It is when all of a sudden that love that I has originated in my fellowship with God has now become an invitation that you and I would share love, that you and I would share expressions of love, that you would reciprocate the love that I've shown you, that you would reciprocate it to me, and that love would be an invitation to actually fellowship and abiding in relationship. That love creates what I would hope would become a history of experience between the two of us that invites me to share a little bit more that I wouldn't share with somebody else that I love, that would invite me to give and sacrifice a little bit more than I would with somebody else that, although I love, I don't have love reciprocated and shared experience and history with. This makes sense? All right. And here's my thing for Kingdom Life Church, is that for us to bear fruit and make disciples, we have to understand that it's not just enough for us to be willing to love everyone. That's not where the power is alone, but that we would become a community of friends. That there would be a history of shared experience that we'd create with each other. That we would create a context of friendship where actually when people come into Kingdom Life Church, they actually begin to make friends. They actually begin to share life together. They begin to find an expression of sacrifice and life involvement and shared experience that creates history and trust that they can find not only friendship, but that people they can create covenant with. And Jesus, he says, listen, this is the key to the kingdom. This is a key here for fruitfulness and discipleship is friendship. And he gives us a few things about friendship and why he calls us friends. Number one, he says, no greater love than this that a man would lay his life down for his friends. Friendship looks like people that prefer one another. Friendship looks for opportunity to sacrifice. Friendship is a race to the cross. So, friendship is willing to use your truck to help someone move. Oh my gosh. Friendship is sharing our resources for those in need. Do you understand when the church of Acts brought all of their belongings and sold them so that they could give to each other as need. Do you understand that the eating in homes and sacrificing belongings were creating friendships that caused kingdom invasion? Friends were being made because needs were being met by the excess of the lives around them. The goal of sacrifice is that in our friendship experience, the nature and the presence of Christ in your life would be experienced through my presence. It is that in your time of need, you would not look around going, I know 1,000 people, but I have no friends. Because in my time of need, there's no lack of the presence of Jesus through the friends in my life that are racing to lay their life down for me. That are racing to change their schedule for me, that are racing to get up in the middle of the hours of the night to charge my battery so I can get to work. But there's no shortage of friends in my life that are willing to do the Jesus thing and race to the cross to bear it for me. And that I actually have no lack of experience with the presence of Christ in my life because I have friends that constantly show it to me. Does that make sense? How many of us know that's not the experience of a group of acquaintances, that's only the experience of a community of friends? Jesus said that if you are my friends, you're gonna do what I command you to do. Friends tell each other what to do. Just kidding, that's not true. But when Jesus says, listen, you are my friends because you do what I command you to do, what is Jesus saying? Friendship with God requires obedience because obedience becomes partnership with God's eternal plan. That in order to obey God's commands, that we've come into the full realization of what we have been invited to partner with him in and what we have the opportunity to release in the earth, that I get to partner with God to heal the sick. I get to partner with God to break addictions in my life and become like him. I get to partner with God to see breakthrough in other people's lives. I get to partner with God to share the word he's given my heart. Like, I'm obedient because I have a realization of what I've been invited to partner with. And because I realize it and I have vision shared with God, how many of us know it's not a religious obedience, it's a joyful, love-filled, passion-driven obedience to follow his plan for my life. And if that is what friendship with God looks like, what does friendship with man look like if we're replicating what he's created with us? It means that we can build friendships together by rallying around the objective of deepening our sincere pursuit of God. That we can rally with each other in friendship to obey his will for our lives. That friendships that we're creating friendships on the grounds of obeying God's will for our lives, our friendships last forever. Listen, as a pastor, I have a pretty deep well of potential friends in my life. I got a lot of people that I could pursue friendship with. But one of the things, I had somebody come up to me and literally say, like, hey, man, can we be friends? I'd love to have a friendship with you. And I said, well, listen, I don't know how we're going to do that. Because, I mean, I'm willing to get involved in your life, but I don't know how deep a friendship we're going to have. Because I'm laying my whole life down for the things of the kingdom and I'm chasing after the presence of God. And my life looks like friendships at the altar of his presence, and it looks like laying it all down to pursue souls, and it looks like this. And man, I haven't seen you in 6 weeks worshiping or doing anything. And like, I'll be connected to you and I love you and I'm here to help. But man, I don't know about you, but I wanna run into the things of the kingdom of friends that motivate me to get closer. Did that sound harsh? The reality is that we're gonna find each other on the same road, and we're going after the same things. And friendship in the church, the profound, powerful forms of friendship that can be forged in the kingdom are the friendships that are obeying the commands of the Lord and stirring each other to do so. Does that make sense? And lastly, Jesus says, I call you friends because I've made known the Father to you. Jesus calls us friends because he's made known the invisible realm to you. That all generations, the fathers of our faith, the cloud of witnesses, were never invited to experience what you now have the privilege of experiencing and knowing God. Moses didn't have the privilege that you have. Noah didn't have access like you have. Jesus has made known the invisible realms, and because of that, he calls you his friend. Friendship looks like sharing heart and life. It looks like sharing the whys behind our behaviors. It looks like revealing our history to one another. And I fear a lot of Christians never learn to share their hearts with each other. And they high-five each other. They like each other. They like each other's posts. But they never actually learn to share life with each other. By never sharing life with each other, by never having a story that gets to get created. You know, every time I take a team of people to the mission field with me, that we go to India, we go to England, do you know now every time I see those people, we have a shared experience of pursuing God together, where we were on a plane for 14 hours together and we shared life. I know what movies they like. I know their stories, their history. I know if they like coffee because I took them all to coffee shops and some didn't get any. Like, I know all the stories of their life because we've created history and experience and even the hardships that we fought for each other's hearts and lives. And there's a moment where you overreacted to me and I go, why did you do that? And you go, because when I was a kid, my mom did this and this happened, and you invite me into the story of your life, and we're creating this deep bonding connection that the rest of the world doesn't have with you because they don't know you. Friendship requires sharing life together. It requires information. It requires life experience where we share the whys behind the do. It requires us digging in and having moments together that we can recall. I fear that Christians never learn to live transparently. They never learn to bring people in. They never invite anyone to access in their hard moments of life. They only want to whitewash everything and show up at church and make it look fine and clean. And they never want to invite anybody in. We never learn how to invite people into our process. And we go to church with a lot of people, but then we always still feel isolated, alone, because we're not creating friendship. And what I want to cast vision for in our church is that we'd become a community of friends, not a generic community of Christians with common belief and interests like the rest of the world. You like sports, I like sports, we're friends. How many of us know that's not kingdom friendships? The reality is, this is why in the kingdom, shared common joys actually isn't a byproduct of friendship in the church at all. Doesn't need to be. I hate Star Wars. You love Star Wars. Who cares? We love Jesus. I like the Red Sox. You like Yankees. This is going to be harder, but we can actually be deeper friends in the kingdom because it's not about commonality of interests. It has everything to do with the depth of connection and life that we are sharing together. It is about the common pursuit of a kingdom that does not end, that does not fail. It is about our ability to wade through the difficulties of connection and friendship and work together to become deeper and closer to each other. I don't know about you, but I don't want to become a generic community of Christians. I want to be a community of friends. Does that make sense? And I want us... And here's what I believe. I believe that if we're going to create a community of friends, then it requires intentionality. It requires sacrifice. It requires sharing our heart. It requires time and investment. It will not happen on Sunday mornings unless we're at church in the yard and we're eating burgers together. That helps. It requires getting on a boat and fishing with some guys, man. It requires going to a Sea Dogs game. It requires, you know, I don't know what you guys, girls do, but doing something that you like, going to the beach, I don't know. It requires some shared life experience. And I want to stir you this morning to the idea that friendship is more than just a good feeling that we have to have in our life, but that it's something that we're pursuing because we know the kingdom of heaven is relying on communities of friends. Oakland, Maine is relying on Kingdom Life Church becoming a community of friends. Central Maine, New England is relying on friendships that bring the kingdom. And I want to encourage us all to begin to look for, intentionally make ourselves available, pursue friendships, invite somebody over, have coffee with them. I will not micromanage friendships in this church. It's got to be something that we have a commonality of pursuit and vision for, is that we're looking for people that we're going to create friendship with and do life with. Does that make sense?